Welcome to the G-Man Daily Podcast. How's everyone doing today? I know I'm doing good, and I hope you guys are too. And if you haven't heard me for a little bit, maybe it's because I just, well, not just noticed, but I recently discovered that my last episode was only streamed on Spotify. Well, it could only be streamed on Spotify. Do the reason because I don't really know. Something went down when I uploaded it, and then they sent me an email not too long ago saying it could only be uploaded on Spotify. So I'm not gonna tell you go download Spotify to go listen. But if you would like to listen to the other episode, there's two ways. You could either go on anchor.com and just look up the G-Man Daily Podcast. You should be able to stream it there for free, or you could just download Spotify and then look it up there and use it like a regular, like how you usually listen to your podcast. Cause I mean, I know I like to, you know, put on the podcast, turn off my phone and just leave my earbuds in, my AirPods in. But yeah, however you want to do it, or, you don't have to at all. You can just listen to this one, cause this one will be uploaded everywhere. And, today we're getting to the New York Giants player grades for the 2020-2021 season. Yeah, that's actually really confusing the more I say it. 20 and 2021. Yeah, we're getting in the weird years. We're in the 20s now. It kind of feels weird to say. But anyway, we're going to start with the offense because to me, I think the offense is the obvious underachieving group out of the three groups, because special teams is part of the group. And I'll give some special team grades just because there's not too many special teamers. But I will note this, that I will not be doing every single player that had a New York Giants uniform this year because, frankly, a lot of them didn't play, as we all know. Like, I'm not doing a player grade for CJ Board. Like, I'm not doing a player grade for him because, I mean, when's the last time you remember seeing CJ Board? And I know, yes, we saw him at probably like once or twice, but come on, be realistic. It wouldn't even be fair to CJ Board to give him a grade, to be completely honest. But yeah, we're starting with the offense because I think the defense is obviously more fun. So I thought I'd just leave that for last because there's way better grades there, obviously. But yeah, let's get the harsh things out of the way, right? As we all know, this is kind of the dull part of offseason, I believe. Like, when it's, like, the end, towards the back end of playoffs and before free agency, I think this is, like, the really dull end. Because all you really see is, like, coaching hires and coaching firings. Actually, they might be done with the coaching firings. We don't know. Actually, we really don't know. There could be more. But, yeah, there will definitely be more hires. I'm hoping that we could get a specific hire, which would be at OC. But probably won't happen. Looks like we're going to retain Garrett, but we will need a new offensive line coach. That's for sure. There might be a little video on that, but it's kind of hard to like predict the next offensive line coach because it could literally be anyone. It could be someone Joe Judge knows from Bama. Like, it could be anyone. So we'll get into that whenever they get hired. Yeah, I know. Speaks just got hired to hired. Breland Speaks just got signed to a futures contract with us. I wasn't going to make a whole podcast on that because we don't even know if he'll actually make the team. But yeah, I do know a little about Breland Speaks. He played at Ole Miss. He's the guy with the famous gif of him recovering the fumble and then awkwardly smiling and waving at the camera. He actually didn't have a horrible rookie season in 2018 with the Chiefs. It wasn't that bad, but for a second rounder, it was underachieving. And then he's bounced around practice squads with Raiders and Chiefs practice squad and Ravens practice squad. So, yeah, we don't really know where we're going to get out of Speaks. Out of his college tape that I watched, and I actually did remember seeing him play in college, but I wasn't obviously paying attention to Speaks. But which is probably not a good thing if he didn't really jump out me watching the game. But yeah, I watched some of his college tape. It wasn't horrible. He had some things that could translate well to the NFL if he's properly coached. And that's why I think they brought him in to try to like work with him. And they'll see the final testament of Breland Speaks towards the end of training camp, as we all will. But yeah, I wouldn't say he's going to make the roster. It'd be unfair to say anyway. But yeah, so wasn't going to talk too much about Breland Speaks. Just wanted to mention that for anyone who did not know, who wasn't aware. Yes, he's signed to a futures contract with us. But let's get into it. Starting right at the top, the captain, the man, or not, Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones, over his quick stats. I'm not going to go over everyone's stats, but obviously he's our quarterback, so let's go over it. He played 14 games this year. Obviously, he was out due to injury for some of the games. He had 280 completions out of 448 attempts, so that was a 62.5 completion percentage, which was a slight improvement from what his rookie year. Then he had 2,943 yards, and he averaged 6.6 per throw. So wasn't bad. Like I said, he regressed a little bit, but we all know why, because I kind of broke it down a little bit in the last podcast. Actually, maybe some of you haven't heard it. So if, like I said, if you want to go watch it, I gave you the ways. And then he averaged 240 yards per game. He had a long 53. He had 11 touchdowns, 10 picks. We all know that. He was sacked 45 times. Jeez. And he had a rating of 80.4. So, yes, we already talked about Daniel Jones. We do need to see improvement, but we have seen improvement for a little bit, I think, of pocket awareness. I think he's improved a little bit in that area, which is awesome, because I think you have to be any sort of successful in the NFL as a quarterback, you have to have good to average, I mean, average to good pocket awareness, because you won't succeed if you don't. You won't even last in this league past 4 years if you don't. But yeah, so my player grade for Daniel Jones this year, and notice I'm not calling him Danny Dimes anymore. He has to re-earn that nickname to me. Daniel Jones has to re-earn that Danny Dimes nickname. Cause that is a strong title to have. It's a fly nickname. We all have to admit it's a really fly nickname. But to retain it, you have to show it on the field. So, but his grade this year will be just a C. It will be just a C. And we'll see if he does improve his grade next year. Moving on, we're going to the running backs, because I'm not doing Colt McCoy. As much as I appreciate what Colt McCoy did for us, you know what? I'll give Colt McCoy a grade. Give him an A+. He got us a win in Seattle. Most you could ask for a backup quarterback, especially Colt McCoy. Colt McCoy gets an A+. Moving on to the running backs, we're going to Wayne Gallman. Wayne Gallman was one of the surprise players for the Giants this year. No one really thought he would contribute the way he did after Saquon went down. I think a lot of Giants fans always thought Wayne Gallman had a little bit of something that we kind of desire to see from him, but we knew Saquon, you know, was going to get all the touches. So I'm not going to sit here and say, oh yeah, I always saw something in Wayne Gallman, but I think a lot of Giants fans did see something a little bit in Wayne Gallman when he did get some touches in previous years. So Wayne Gallman, I'm going to go over his stats too, just because obviously he's going to get one of the highest grades in the offense, to be honest. He played 15 games. That's great, obviously. He had 682 yards. He was a little shy of 700. He averaged 4.6 per carry. He had a long of 60 yards, 6 touchdowns, and he averaged 45.5 yards a game. Yes, that does not sound great. But if everyone knows that watched the games, that those runs really contributed to all the wins we had. So Wayne Gallman's going to get an overall grade, overall grade of A-. He's going to get an A-. And to be honest, I honestly believe that might be, if it's not the highest, it's one of the highest grades on the offense. Yes, Wayne Gallman's going to get A-. You could argue a B+. I know his stats don't really indicate that he had a terrific season, but everyone knows the way Wayne ran. You know, he got the nickname Wayne Train, and he deserves that nickname, so I'm going to continue to call him Wayne Train. Moving on to another running back, Alfred Morris. Alfred Morris. I loved watching Alfred Morris run for some reason. To me, I laughed every time. Yes, sometimes it was frustrating in the beginning when we first saw him, but then he started to have these random bursts. Like, it was just like these random 8 yard, 7 yard bursts that were just spectacular to see. And he's running, literally a turtle could be faster than him on that turf. I'm not even kidding. Like, that man is slow, but he runs hard, he hits the holes right, and he's a solid RB4 or 3. But yes, he's gonna get a C+ grade obviously, because he did contribute to the wins we had, along with Gallman. That was one of the weirdest tandems to see, was Gallman and Alfred Morris, but it worked somehow for Joe Judge and Jason Garrett's offense. And then we could give no really other running back a grade. I mean, if you want to give Devontae Freeman a grade, I mean, you didn't really do anything for us, to be honest. I thought the signing at the time was, you know, I thought it was a deaf thing, but he didn't really do anything for us to really get a grade, I believe. Yes, he had some runs, but they didn't really contribute to anything. If you really want me to give him a grade, he's going to have to get a D+. but then we're going to move on to the wideouts. And the first wideout is someone who really disappointed almost every Giants fan, I believe. And that's Darius Slayton, who we all thought coming into the season, me, myself included, was going to be a wide receiver one for us. I truly thought after his rookie year, I thought he could be a wide receiver one. I wasn't stamping it, but I said, oh, he could easily be a wide receiver one if he continues and gets better. Yes, everyone was saying he was battling injuries all year, but if you're on the field, you can play. You know what I mean? So that's how I always saw it. And there's a lot of guys out here battling injuries and still playing at really good levels. And Darius Slayton did underachieve this year, and that's why he's going to get a C-. Shepard, moving on to Sterling Shep, who was, in fact, the best wideout for the Giants this year. Couldn't be a surprise because we all know Sterling Shepard, when he's on the field, is the most consistent wide receiver we have, most reliable wide receiver we have, and he's obviously becoming Daniel Jones' safety blanket, which is great to see. You always want your quarterback to have a safety blanket. You know, Josh Allen, it sounds like I'm always trying to compare us to the Bills, but it's just a really good reference point here. But Josh Allen, Cole Beasley, yes, he has a stud receiver and Stephon Diggs, but Cole Beasley is his safety blanket. That is his safety blanket. Man, I would have loved Cole Beasley on this team. But anyway, Sterling Shep is going to get a grade of a B+. He's going to get a B+ because he was productive when he was out there. You could argue a B, but he's definitely in the B range for sure. He did only play 12 games. We all know Sterling Shepard is never going to play a full season. He's just not. He's just not. And it sucks, but when he's out there, he is productive, and his route running is on point, as always. Dante Pettis. Now, you guys are probably wondering, why'd you just say Dante Pettis over Golden Tate and Evan Ingram, blah, blah, blah? I'm saying this because I truly believe Dante Pettis has a future with the New York Giants. I truly believe he has a future with the New York Giants. If they retain him, I believe if he gets a shot again, he's going to show out because I'm a huge Dante Pettis fan. And the time for what he played in, he was productive and he made big time plays. And Dante Pettis is going to get a B- because he is like that. He's like that. Just give him the time. Give him the time to shine and you'll see. And we're going to move on to Golden Tate. Golden Tate. Not a lot of fans like him. And I just saw his recent, Twitter post of, it was just him and that, like, those, like, mini football players. Like, I don't even know what they are. They're just tiny. I don't know. They look like bobbleheads. But he's saying something about missing Giants football or whatnot. And I was like, let me look at the comments. And it's just a whole bunch of Giants fans saying, oh, you'll be missing it when you're cut. You'll be missing it when you're cut next week. I don't believe Golden Tate will be here next year. And after seeing all those comments, he probably does not want to be here next year. And honestly, that's great because I don't want him next year. And it's not really because of his play, to be completely honest, even though we know he's aging. But it's mostly because of his contract and the cap situation we're in right now. So right now, we don't need him. He's a liability as of right now. And he's going to get a D, to be honest. Well, you can give him a D+, whatever. I thought Golden Tate was kind of really bad this year. Yes, he had some really good catches that looked like there was no way he could catch them. We all know. I told you guys that Golden Tate's a pretty good 50-50 ball catcher. That's what I think his bread and butter is, and obviously yak. But that's obviously going to slow down. He's getting older, and he costs too much. And no, he's not a cancer. I don't believe he was a cancer in the locker room. I think he just said something. He was frustrated. It happens. I understand it. He apologized. And he acted like, I think he was really professional about the way he went about it after. Now, obviously not what he did. But after the way he went about it, I think he was professional about it. And it didn't really ruin anything in the locker room. So no, he wasn't a cancer. I think that's a stretch, guys. But yeah, Golden Tate could be off this team without a doubt. And we're going to move on to a fan favorite, number 88, Evan Ingram. And you guys probably hate me for just saying that. But Evan Ingram, not going to get too much into it. We're not going to talk about him that much. He's only going to get a C. He's going to get a C. And the only reason it's not lower is because he made a Pro Bowl. That's the only reason, is because he made a Pro Bowl. But yeah, Evan Ingram, to be honest, yes, he had 11 drops. But looking at his stats compared to all other tight ends, I mean, it wasn't like he didn't have a bad year. He didn't really have a bad year. I think he had a top 10 tight end year, but to us, yeah, he was horrible. We understand. He cost us games. He cost Daniel Jones interceptions, which I hate that. That irks me, you know, when you cost your quarterback an interception. But yeah, Evan Ingram's only going to see. Caden Smith, who I like more than Evan Ingram, is going to get a C minus just because. You know what? Give Caden Smith a C plus. Give him over. Let's get him over Evan Ingram, okay? Because Caden Smith, he just does everything better than Evan Ingram. And then we're gonna go to Levine Toilolo, and he's gonna get a C minus because Levine Toilolo was not effective, obviously, in the passing game, but he was very effective in the blocking game. If you can go back and look at the tapes, he definitely put a body on these little linebackers, and I appreciated him for that. And I wouldn't be mad if he came back next year because he is a really good blocker. And then we're going to move on to O-line. And we're going to move on to our first overall pick, and that is Andrew Thomas. Andrew Thomas, our left tackle. Andrew Thomas is going to get a B. That could obviously be lower or higher for some of you guys, but I just put it right smack dab in the middle because we understand his rocky road in the beginning of the season and how he drastically improved throughout the whole back end of the season. And I truly believe he's just going to only get better. And we did come across that he had to go right to surgery after like the last game of the season. He was battling like a foot injury. So hopefully he comes back 100% next year, better than ever with the experience and hopefully with a better O-line coach. And we keep seeing improvement from Andrew Thomas. So he's going to end with a B. Our left guard, Shane LeMahieu, and we're going to do Shane and obviously Will Hernandez with this. But yeah, we're just do with Shane because, I mean, he ended the year starting. And Shane's going to get a C. You could argue, again, lower or higher. Some people will say lower because they think he was utterly trash. And some people will say higher because they think he was good for where he was picked. And I'm one of those people, so I just put it smack dab in the middle. But I think he was good for where he was picked. It was good value. And yes, his pass game blocking is very questionable right now, but he is a rookie, and he is a really raw prospect. But yes, his run blocking was pretty good, was amongst the best out of the rookie class for run blocking guards. So Shane LeMahieu is going to end with a C to me. He could definitely improve. And we'll see if he even starts next year or becomes just a rotational player. We'll see, because we don't know what's going to happen with the big man Kevin Zeitler and Will Hernandez. And Will Hernandez is going to get a B minus. Yes, he definitely played. No one can tell me Shane LeMahieu played better than Will Hernandez when he was out there, because Will Hernandez did have a better year overall than Shane LeMahieu, for sure. That's for a fact. He's going to get a B minus. Kevin Zeitler is going to get a B plus. Kevin Zeitler was solid for the time he was out there, for sure. Our right tackles are going to be Matt Peart, who I'm going to give a C plus, because to be honest, I think Matt Peart has potential to be our starting right tackle. I truly do. He has the huge frame. His technique actually isn't that bad. He does have to work on a few things, especially getting beat on the outside. But he does have a lot of potential. Huge potential, honestly, if he gets the right coaching. That's why I think this O-line coach has to be the right hire. And it actually is really important. Like, I wish we can get like a Callahan or something, but obviously we couldn't because Jason Garrett joined our team and him and Jason Garrett hate each other. So another reason why I hate Jason Garrett. And then also Cam Fleming, who's just going to end with a C. Could be lower. I don't think anyone's going to say higher, but it could be lower. I was just being gracious to Cam Fleming because he really didn't allow as many sacks as I thought he would. And pressures as well. Like, he didn't do horrible. He did not do horrible for a lot. Most of the part, for most games, he held his own. He did in the beginning season struggle penalties, and I saw towards the end of the season, that's why I started loosening up to him a little bit, because he wasn't getting called for any penalties towards the end of the year, and I appreciated that from Cam. And that is our offensive grades. And now we're going to move on to the juicy, and that's the defense, which is my favorite side of the ball for sure in football. And that's going to be the captain. We're starting off with the captain, and that's Blake. That's Blake Martinez. And we all know Blake, who is starting to soften up to the Giants fan base now and showing his true colors of being pretty much a child, a child playing football. And I love Blake Martinez. And also, I love the way he plays. And I seen him in Green Bay when he was there. And I never thought he'd be a Giant. Like, he's one of those players I just could never see be a Giant. And when we signed him in free agency, I'm like, what, really? We really got Blake Martinez? He just looked like he'd be a Packer for most of his career, to be honest. He looked like one of those guys that'd be a Packer until he was bad enough to get cut and land somewhere random and barely get any snaps. I thought he'd be one of those players, but no, he came to us and he was a splash in free agency, and he's going to get an overall grade of A. He's just going to get an A, and so far that is our highest grade. He's getting an A for sure because no one expected him to play this way right off the bat for us. No one did. He had 86 solo tackles, 65 assisted, 151 tackles overall. That is insane. Three sacks, tackle for losses. He had 11, five pass deflections, one interception, and two forced fumbles. And he had one fumble recovery, I believe. Yeah, one fumble recovery. Blake Martinez had a real, I think he had an all-pro year. Obviously got snubbed. Like he said, he's coming back next year with vengeance, and he's going to get his all-pro. I really believe he is. He played all 16 games for us this year. And you guys remember, he was battling some injuries in the beginning of the year. And then I think that was his back. Was it his back? And then Bengals game, I remember him getting hurt. I forgot what it was exactly. That might have been his back. I know his back had – something happened to his back at one point. That might have been his back. It might have been the Bengals game. But yes, Blake Martinez is going to end with an overall grade of an A. Then we're going to move on here. We're going to go to Logan Ryan, our captain next year, I believe. He's going to get that C patch for sure. One of my favorite players. I got to get a jersey. I really got to get a jersey, Logan Ryan. I just do. Since he just signed his contract, I think I'm just going to do that. Every time we sign someone to not a length, well, two-year-plus contract, I'm probably going to get a jersey, to be honest, if he's good enough, you know. But yeah, Logan Ryan, 68 solo tackles, 25 assisted, 94 in total. He had one sack and one interception, right? Yeah, Logan Ryan had, yeah, he had one interception. Yes, we all know what Logan Ryan did for us. He was great, really good Gettleman pickup, whether you like to admit it or not. But he was a huge Gettleman pickup for us. He definitely, I think, helped advance the development of our young guys, especially in the secondary, the likes of Xavier McKinney and whatnot. So yeah, Logan Ryan's going to end with an A-minus grade. A-minus. It could be, you could argue a B-plus, but he's going to get an A-minus from me. Jabril Pep, who I have a jersey of because I love this guy, and I hope we give him an extension next year towards the end of the year or in the middle of the year, bye week. Who cares? Give this guy an extension. He's our safety for the future, and he's going to get a B-plus grade. He definitely balled out for us this year. I can't even really define his position, to be honest. He could easily be a linebacker for us. Yeah, he had 8.5 tackle for losses, 11 pass deflections. And I remember a lot of people were jacking that he was not good in pass coverage. Guy had 11 pass deflections. That's CB stats. That's cornerback stats. That's not safety stats. Come on. Julian Love, he's going to get an overall grade of C. He did okay for us. I think there's potential with Julian Love, but that is yet to be seen for a little bit. And Tate Crowder is going to get a C minus. He could get a higher grade. You could argue a C just because he was Mr. Irrelevant and he ended up even starting for us. That could either say how our depth is, or that could just say how good he is. We don't know. I'm going to go with the depth part. Leo Will, and that is Leonard Williams. He's going to get an A plus. Leonard Williams is going to get an A plus. I'm flat out A plus. The guy balled out. He had a career year. We're going over Leonard Williams' stats, okay? 16 games. He played all 16, which I think by itself is phenomenal. 57 tackles, Okay. Wait, no. Yeah, 57 tackles. I thought that was a solo. I'm like, wait, he had 57 solo tackles? But no, he had 57 tackles overall. He had 11.5 sacks, 15.5 tackle for loss, and one pass deflection. And we all know the amount of pressures that man was putting on the opposing quarterbacks. Really appreciate Leo and what he's done, and I hope we re-sign him. James Bradberry, moving on, A+. I don't even have A+. He's one of the best corners in the league. I think he's top three, top four at least. He's only going to get better. Sexy Dexy, he's going to get an A-. I just saw PFF talking about him, and they truly do believe he can be an all-pro player within the next 2-3 years. So that's great to hear, because I do too. I honestly do too. He could be a huge force for us, especially because Dalvin Tomlinson might be out of this team. So we're going to really have to rely on Sexy Dexy and whoever big Hog Molly we draft to be in that defensive line. Dalvin Tomlinson is going to get a plain out B. He's going to get a B. I think he did good this year. He does what he did every year. That's what he did this year. 49 tackles, 3.5 sacks, 10 tackle for losses. Like, he did what he had to do. He's a nose tackle. That's just nose tackle stats. He could get paid a good amount this year, but not from us. We cannot pay him to a big contract, especially if you're trying to get Leo back. That just would not make sense to waste so much money on two nose tackles. Isaac Yiadom, he's going to get a C-, not talk too much about him. Kyle Frackle will get a C+, because Kyle Frackle did contribute when he played. If you go back and watch the tape, he did create a lot of pressure on quarterbacks. He had pretty good passing rush moves. I would not be opposed to him coming back next year. I know he's on a one-year deal, but if we brought him back, I won't be mad at all. Devontae Downs is going to get a plain F. Devontae Downs is one of the worst football players I've ever seen. He can't cover anyone. He can't tackle anyone. I just don't understand how he's still in the NFL. BJ Hill is going to get a plain B. He's going to get a B, and honestly, to be honest, this is what I'm saying. If Dalvin leaves, in which I won't be opposed to, as much as I love Dalvin Tomlinson, it's like we watched him grow. But if he leaves, I think we're just going to rely on BJ Hill. I think he's going to come right in, and I won't be mad at that, because I truly do believe BJ Hill is pretty good. Obviously, he got a lot of snaps this year, but he wasn't the starting nose tackle. But if he did retain that job, I think he'd do just fine. Darnay Holmes is going to get a C+. C+, you could argue higher or even not. But I think he did well for a rookie, not allowing a touchdown. Xavier McKinney, we only got a small sample size of Xavier McKinney. He only played 6 games, it's listed at, but we really only see him play like 4, because he played like a total of like 10 snaps his first 2 games here. I think it's not really fair to give him a grade. And the rest of everyone on this team, it's not fair to give him a grade, because they didn't really play. We can give Graham Gano a grade. Give Graham Gano an A+. Graham Gano gets an A+. He played excellent for us. And Riley Dixon? Do you guys want a grade for Riley Dixon? I didn't write down a Riley Dixon grade. But if I were to give him a grade, I'm actually going to give Riley Dixon a C+. He didn't really punt that well this year. And I know you guys really don't care about punters, but it's kind of actually very important to have a really good punter. Field position is kind of everything in today's game. So I didn't think he played horrible, but he didn't play as good as last year. He was backing guys up last year. And I wish he did that for this team this year, because, you know, that would have given us a lot more chances. But yeah, guys, there's really no one else that really deserves a grade here. If I did miss someone, please let me. Oh my God, I missed someone on offense. I missed someone on offense. Now I'm looking at my sheet here, and that is Nick Gates. I'm sorry, I didn't give Nick Gates a grade, and I have to give Nick Gates. I have to give Nick Gates a grade, and Nick Gates is going to get an A-. I have him down as A-, because he didn't allow a single sack this year. 2 pressures. Guy was insane. Nick Gates is a Hog Molly. Truly is. That's a Gettleman pick. This has been the The G-Man Daily Podcast, and before I was really interrupted, I just wanted to let you guys know and touch base on what the next episodes will be. Something to look forward to. And by the way, guys, if you disagreed or agreed or just want to comment on my grades on the last episode, just leave a review or just hit me on my Twitter. Like I said, it's the G-Man Daily Podcast. You can't miss it. But yes, the next episode, we will be touching based on potential free agents. And yes, I'll try to do my best on making it absolutely realistic as much as I can, like with connections and affiliations with our coaching staff and whatnot, because you could tell with this coaching staff, these guys like to bring in their guys, which there's no problem with that. You see that a lot. And if it works, it works. I think it really worked with the defense this year. So, and Joe Judge, I trust, like I always say. But yes, the next episode will be about free agents, guys we could acquire. I should probably do a cap episode if anyone wants to listen about finance of the New York Giants. But yes, I should probably do a cap episode. Like I said, we are in a little bit of cap trouble. We're going to have to make some really big cuts. We'll see what happens in the coming 2 weeks, 3 weeks. But yes, and then after all of that, I want to really dive into, because then it's going to start being February. So then that would leave us around 2.5 months away from the draft. So yes, then I want to start really diving deep into the college prospects. All 7 rounds, obviously, for the New York Giants. Yeah, I really want to dive into that because that is my kind of forte, if you say. but anyway, yes, that is really what I want to dive into. I just want to give you guys a little update on what's coming next. And like I said, guys, if you want to listen to the two episodes ago, if you want to listen to the episode from 2 episodes ago, it could only be streamed on Spotify or the Anchor app. Just go to anchor.com if you would like to listen to that. Yes, it's free. But yes, anyway, guys, I hope you guys enjoyed listening. If you have any suggestions, just leave a review. Make sure to rate this if you can. That would be much appreciated. And yeah, my Twitter is the G-Man Daily. That is all I am on social media. So yeah, guys, thank you for everything and have a good one. Peace.